Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. Hope you're having a fine Tuesday afternoon. I've got a great guest to help us close out the show this half hour. His name is Dan Schaefer. He's the creation of the famous Recombobulation Area. You can find that on Substack. You can also find his great work at civicmedia.us. He is my colleague here, as he is our political editor. Dan, great to have you on. This is going to be your new slot. Really excited to make sure that everybody driving home from work gets the benefit of all of your expertise, Dan. And you helped me know about some breaking news just within the last half hour that relates to Judge Dugan's case. I want to start with the breaking news. Then we're going to zoom out because you and I have yet to have a chance to talk about this on the air and what it all means for Wisconsin, but share with us the breaking news.
Yeah, lots going on. Glad to be with you here on the Maggie Dawn Show in drive time now. Very excited to be joining you here. But the news from just within the last half hour here, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has issued a release that they are temporarily prohibiting Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dugan from exercising the powers of a circuit court judge after the FBI arrested her last week. So already earlier this week, as we reported at Civic Media, a reserve judge has already been handling Judge Dugan's cases since Monday. But this is, it seems like, you know, and I'll defer to you here with the legal expertise, Maggie Dawn, but this seems like as much of a formality as anything. Am I reading this correctly here?
So here is the thing, and I was fortunate enough to be able to attend Mr. David Crowley, Milwaukee County Executive, his press conference on Friday. And at that press conference, I asked him a question relating to this. I assumed that she would not be hearing cases while she's facing these criminal trials. But to me, the money question, if you will, and pun intended here, is does she continue to draw a salary? In other words, is this an administrative suspension, not a full suspension? And why is this so important? Well, hey, folks, if you can imagine the entire apparatus of the federal government, you know, catalyzed over xenophobia, racism, and hatred with a president that doesn't care anything about constitutional norms or due process, training all of the resources of the federal government at you to prosecute you for something that you insist you are innocent of, it might matter whether or not you can continue to draw a salary while you're paying for the lawyers to defend you from this. And trust me, we learned today that Hannah has hired Paul Clement, former Solicitor General, one of the nation's premier, if not the premier, Supreme Court litigator, often referred to as the LeBron James of all lawyers. She's got U.S. Attorney, former U.S. Attorney Stephen Biskupic on her team, as well as three premier local Milwaukee-based criminal defense litigator. Yeah, folks, you're counting at least five lawyers, plus all the assistants that support them. Those are big, huge dollars. So whether or not Judge Dugan continues to draw a salary will be critical here, especially because if she doesn't, what message does that send to other judges? It makes the scariness of it, right, the intimidation factor, explode exponentially, right? If you're going to lose your salary, your means of sustaining yourself while you are targeted by the federal government, not all of us have, you know, billionaire pocketbooks like Donald Trump did, and not all of us can extort hundreds of millions of dollars in free legal services. So I think that's the real question here, Dan. Let me ask you, I'm so close to this because I know Judge Dugan personally. I know the acting U.S. attorney whose office is going to be forced to prosecute her, Rick Froehling. I consider them both friends. I know each of the lawyers that she's hired, except for Paul Clement personally. I'm too close to it. Dan, what do you think, in your mind, your reactions and the statewide reactions to Judge Dugan's arrest and prosecution?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this became a national story immediately. We had, you know, the FBI director, Kash Patel, tweeting out that picture with Dugan being arrested, all the faces of the FBI agents blurred out in the image. So it just does seem like we've reached a certain threshold with Trump's push, you know, march towards authoritarianism. And it does seem like this is, you know, yet another significant marker along there. And it does seem like most people have recognized that things are escalating in the Trump administration's push for mass deportation. You know, there was some budget language about how they're going to pay for all of this that was put out this week. And it just seems like, you know, from immigration attorneys that I've talked to, who I've had on the air and civic media and whatnot, it just seems like things are reaching another level here. And the arrest of a judge seems like a very significant flashpoint in the ongoing story that is the what the Trump administration is doing here. And I think, you know, it is incumbent on all of us to, you know, just remind people that, you know, what their rights are, what the due process actually should be, what the Constitution says on these things, as, you know, the Trump administration in a perfectly Trumpian paradox is seemingly breaking a lot of laws as it purports to be the party of law and order.
I'm glad you brought that up, Dan, because the hypocrisy or the paradox here needs to be emphasized. You cannot be the party of law and order when you pardon people who beat the crap out of cops and you have evidence on video of same. You cannot be the party of law and order when you rip the Constitution to shreds. Every single society on the planet has always faced the question of, what rights are we willing to sacrifice in order to feel safe? That is literally an exchange, the budding of two values, individual rights and our personal freedoms and our autonomy as individuals. Those rights will always and have always abutted the desire for safety. And it seems to me that this false choice, you can either be safe or we can live in a free-thinking democracy, that Donald Trump is saying that's simply not possible. And a lot of millions of people are buying that argument. It's going to be a fascinating one to watch, especially because the lawyers, I started the show talking about those lawyers. These are Republican appointed lawyers. Paul Clement served as SG under G.W. Bush. Stephen Biskupic was a Republican appointed attorney, U.S. attorney. These guys are conservatives and they are respected throughout the conservative and Republican movements. So the fact that she's lawyered up with these guys, it's kind of like, now we're going to hire your own lawyers to tell you how terrible this prosecution is.
And I believe such was also the case for the judge who said that the Trump administration needed to return Kilmar Abrego Garcia when they sent him to the prison in El Salvador as well. So it's not like there are these super woke liberal justices that are ruling on this. It is like old school traditional Republican rule of law due process guys.
Correct.
So I think that is a huge.
It is literally like the white Republican guys that have always been on the inside of it. That's Harvey Wilkinson III is the judge that you're referring to. This guy is, you know, he was roommates with Brett Kavanaugh in law school, for crying out loud. I mean, like, not to put too fine a point on it. And I think Jacob Calvin, we've got some sound of Donald Trump today at a rally talking about these conservative judges, these conservative lawyers, as well as painting with quite a broad brush. I'm going to just say this before we run the sound here. What you're about to hear is what a fascist says. Let's take a listen.
And we're here tonight in the heartland of our nation to celebrate the most successful.
Not this one, Jacob. I was looking for the clip of Trump where he talks about the handful of judges. Do we have that particular sound? I'm gonna get to Donald Trump's recharacterization of the polls. We do not have that sound. Is that correct? Looks like it's popping up. I'm just going to read it. We'll see if we've got it a little bit. I don't want to waste any more time. It says this. Here's what Donald Trump said today. Quote, "We cannot allow a handful of communist radical left judges to obstruct the enforcement of our laws and assume the duties that belong solely to the president." Assume the duties that belong solely to the president? What is this man even talking about? He goes on, judges are trying to take away the power given to the president. No, you jerk. They're trying to do and exercise the authorities that the Constitution granted to them and not to the president. It's pretty bananas.
Did he just try to delete checks and balances in the middle of a speech in Michigan? Yeah, I don't know exactly what.
Yeah, he's like those other branches of the government. Yeah, you guys just, Congress has effectively deleted itself, or at least the MAGA movement in Congress deleted itself.
Sure,
but yeah, he's like, the judiciary, you just need to rubber stamp everything that I do, like my good friends on the Supreme Court have done. Thus far, we've got a little bit more breaking news today. The Evers administration announcing a lawsuit. Tell us about it, Dan.
Yeah, so this has been a story that's been going on today. So there was a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning about DOGE making significant cuts to AmeriCorps, ending work for 430 people in Wisconsin. This is affecting millions in grants and activity going on around the state. There's been a lot of statements from, you know, various local leaders, state and local leaders across Wisconsin in response to this. And along with that, Wisconsin, led by Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call, are joining a multi-state lawsuit that is going against those sweeping cuts to AmeriCorps and you know, really trying to take action going against this. The Washington Post reported last week that close to $400 million in grants from AmeriCorps were being essentially canceled by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. So it is, you know, these are grants that are going to, really critical work across the state and in a variety of things, and people working in Wisconsin on issues like literacy and conservation, homelessness, healthcare. I saw the mayor of Green Bay mentioned a lot of the conservation work that has been done in their city in recent years has been through AmeriCorps. I know a lot of people who are, you know, kind of AmeriCorps veterans. AmeriCorps, you know, have that experience. And so many people talk about it as a really valuable thing in their career, not only in their career, but the ability to, you know, just provide service, acts of service in our government.
Do we have a tally of what litigation the Evers administration, like a list of what litigation Call and the Evers administration is preparing? Because I would be very interested in where are they putting their markers down, right? Because if you think about, for example, I support AmeriCorps. It's an incredible program. My dad worked in a precursor AmeriCorps program called VISTA, serving people in the Appalachian region. Of course, I care about those things. But when I think about, you know, like the handful of Trumpian policies and executive orders that could dismantle the Wisconsin economy and lead to even ever-increasing brain drain, which is already a challenge, it was things like, again, targeting students on visas. It's dismantling the research infrastructure that allows the University of Wisconsin continue to be one of the world's premier research institutions, and certainly in this country, those kinds of things. Dan, maybe you and I can pick up this conversation with a little reflection on what lawsuits do we have coming from the Evers and Call administrations? Maybe we'll start there next week. You're going to be able to find Dan Schaefer, political editor, creator of the fabulous Recombobulation Area, every Tuesday with me at 5:30 in the drive time slot. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thanks so much, Maggie. Be well.
We're going to have some final thoughts, and I'll play for you Donald Trump's imaginary numbers, magical thinking about how he's polling from a rally today in Michigan. The man has lost his marbles if he ever had any. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back in just a moment.